Yeah, this is a classic pop songwriting
Cause,
technique.
Like in like Dynamite, they like, they come back from the bars and they're like, "Cause
exactly, exactly." It's the same like, thing that they do in BTS Dynamite.
This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Take three.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Will is so annoyed at me. I've been taking so long to get together all the materials
for
this
episode. You said you'd be ready to record. I came up 20 minutes later. We're recording.
Yeah, I know. Actually, we are recording earlier in the day than we have been, so that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. It'll be out earlier. It's already out for you guys.
I can drink coffee during this episode.
this episode we're doing Fountains of Wayne, Stacey's Mom. I'm excited because this song is just really cool. It's a smash.
It's a smash hit. And it's from a band that I love very dearly, and a band that I introduced you to over some time, and that we listened to a lot of Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah.
This spring when we were down in the basement doing gymnastics.
Shout out to Adam Schlesinger.
Yeah, so should we talk about that?
Yeah, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but...
Well...
We don't want to make listeners really sad.
Yeah, but this was really one of the...
most tragic deaths of COVID.
Yeah. Adam Schlesinger, who is the bass player and writer of many of the songs.
And backup vocals.
And backup vocalist. He passed away very early on during the pandemic due to complications with COVID-19. And I'm still... totally heartbroken over it every time I listen to their music.
Yeah. One of my favorite albums by them is Welcome Interstate Managers.
That's the song that this...
Yeah.
That's the record this song's from.
Well, just for listeners to get to know a little bit of us, my two top favorite albums by them are Welcome Interstate Managers and Utopia Parkway. What are yours?
Gosh, I would say it's really hard for me to pick favorite records because every one of their records is really, really good.
Just like thinking of Utopia Parkway, Red Dragon Tattoo just popped into my head and now it's got me.
And Denise.
Not that song, but Red Dragon Tattoo. Red Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, that's a great song. And the last couple records that they put out are phenomenal. They're just some of my favorite songwriters ever.
Yeah, they're really awesome. Well, before we get in, let's give a little time for our sponsors. Okay, that was, thank you. Okay, yeah. So I know we kind of talk about how, because we do pop songs and really catchy songs that will like stick in your head forever. And I know I kind of, this question is a question I'll probably always ask in a few different forms, but it's really interesting. What is behind the progression that makes it really catchy? And I know I ask this a lot, but, like, you need a really simple but also, like, very satisfying chord progression to make it catchy and to make it be a smash. And I'm always curious about, like, is this like the Harry Styles song where it's like untypical where it goes from one to the other? Like, what was it again?
Well, we've talked about a lot of songs that have very static chord progressions that don't go anywhere or don't resolve.
Yeah.
Like the Harry Styles just goes from the 4 to 5.
Yeah. Well, this one I think resolves just...
Oh, yeah. Every time it goes through the chord progression, it resolves. So we're talking as if the audience knows this song by heart, but we usually do play an excerpt. Should we drop an excerpt in
right now? Oh my god, I forgot. Yes, totally.
Okay, here we go. We'll play like a verse and a chorus. And not just play out the whole song. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Should I say my question again?
So the chord progression.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this is just a really classic pop song, really well written. The verse chords are 1-4-5. So it just keeps cycling through this feeling of resolving and then getting unstable and then moving towards resolution and then resolving again.
Yeah, it's definitely, it goes 1-4-5.
But then there's that really nice pre-chorus that sets up the chorus. You know I'm not the little boy that I used to be.
It makes it very unresolved.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice big passage of that hangs around the four. And then the chorus starts on the four.
And it's like, baby, can't you see? Stacy's mom. Yeah.
Yeah. So the chorus starts on the four. And then it kind of goes into a progression that you hear a lot in pop music now, which is that sort of unstable progression that doesn't really ever land on one. It passes through one. It goes 4-1-5-6. So I can play... You want me to play you those chord progressions?
Yeah, but before you do that, you might be a listener at home that has like one genre of music that you like and you stick with that, and you might be like, oh my god, I listen to a ton of pop music. This does not sound like pop, like all this bass and drums and stuff. It's kind of like, how would you explain it? It's like, it's a very influential, not old but not recent pop.
Well, it's. So
it was pop for the century.
A lot of people call this genre power pop. You know, it starts with bands like the Beatles and the British Invasion, and then it works through the 70s and 80s with other power pop bands like Cheap Trick and bands like Jellyfish that take a lot from the Beatles and the Beach Boys. And the Fountains of Wayne are really... influenced by those kinds of songwriters. So they're trying to keep that paradigm alive. In fact, if you look at the band, they kind of mirror the Beatles, don't they?
Yeah.
They have two guitar players, a bass player, and a drummer. So they're...
And a singer.
Well, they're a four-piece, and two of them sing. The rhythm guitar player, just like John Lennon was the rhythm guitar player in the Beatles. And the bass player in the Beatles was Paul McCartney, and he did a lot of singing. Actually, he was also like a lead singer, but Adam Schlesinger does a lot of vocals also, and he's the bass player in Fountains of Wayne. So they really modeled their whole setup of the band on the Beatles.
Yeah.
And another thing that we can talk about with their relationship to the Beatles is the fact that Adam Schlesinger was hired to write all the songs for a movie called That Thing You Do, which is a fictional account of a band that's just like the Beatles. It's based on, it's modeled after their rise to fame. And he wrote all the songs for the fictional Beatles in this big Hollywood movie.
What were they called? The Bugs?
They were called, they were called the Wonders.
The Wonders. Oh, the only, I wasn't mocking that. The only reason why I said the Bugs is because the Beatles are
right.
Bugs.
Well, they, and they're similar in that they do like a play on the spelling of, so it's O-N-E-D-E-R, like one, the number one.
Oh,
Wonders.
I thought you meant like W-L.
Right, just like the Beatles. A Beatle is spelled B-E-E-T-L-E, but the Beatles use beat, like beat of a drum.
Oh, I never really thought of that, beat of a drum.
Yep.
I wonder if Ringo came up with that.
No, Ringo was actually not in the band when they came up with that name. Oh. They had a drummer named Stuart Sutcliffe. Oh.
But Ringo is iconic.
Yeah. So let me play you a little bit of their big song from that movie, just so you get a little sense of it.
Okay. Just so listeners don't forget, can you play that on the chord progression you were going to play on the bass? Or, on the guitar.
Yeah, you want me to play that first?
Yeah, because that's more... You know, just more related.
Okay, I'm picking up the guitar.
Johnny Jaguar.
Yeah.
Or, no, it's not called the Johnny Jaguar. It's just the Jaguar.
Now, where is...
Johnny Marr guitar.
My sound. This is my Johnny Marr Jaguar.
Yep, I just said that.
All right, here we are. So, the verse goes... So one, E, and then four, A, and then five, B, and then the pre-chorus goes down to that's the minor third. You know I'm not a little boy that I used to be.
Wait, can you play the chorus again after?
I'm not at the chorus yet.
Oh yeah, you're in the pre-chorus.
Baby, can't you see? And that's they end on that big four chord. And then the chorus starts on the four, and then it goes, Stacy is mine, it's got it going on. She's all I want, and I've heard it for so long. Stacy, can't you see? You're just... And then it goes to that, what is that chord?
Not the girl for me.
I've been trying to figure out what that chord is for a while. I'm going to have to hit pause and actually figure it out now.
Okay.
Aha! It's a subdominant. It's a G sharp 7, which is kind of a weird chord for E.
It's in the key of E, right?
Yeah. Because okay. if you'd go to a G sharp normally, you'd go to a G sharp minor. Which is what you have in the pre-chorus. Not a little boy that I used to be. You have that G sharp minor?
Yeah.
But in the chorus, Stacy, can't you see? You're just...
No.
Hear out now, it's a dominant 7?
It's very unresolved. Like, it's unresolved because then when you resolve, it'll bake.
It tells your ear that you're going somewhere new.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't be hearing a G-sharp 7 in the key of E.
Not good for...
And because you have the 7, it tells you that you're going to resolve to whatever the tonic would be of this G-sharp 7. That's what makes it a subdominant, is that it's like acting momentarily as a dominant for the key of C-sharp... minor.
Tonic is the
home key.
Yeah, home key.
Stacy, can't you see? You're just not the girl for me. I know I might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacy's mom. Makes it very satisfying because you actually leave the key of E for like a moment. You go into this other place. And then you come back to E, and it makes it super satisfying to get back to the verse. Very simple. So can you think of any other songs from music history that have that 1-4-5 progression that's in the verse? Think of like songs you might have played on piano, like La Bamba. La 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 Bamba. La 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 Bamba.
Let me think. Wait, I want to think of something you haven't told. You're not going to give me a hint on. Is Take On Me in that? Take On Me. Take On Me.
No, that's not.
I'm only singing. Okay, yeah, I thought. I was singing quietly today because my singing is horrible. It was Hulk Hogan yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We were playing carpool karaoke last night, and we blew out all our voices doing other voices.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, before we leave the discussion of the harmony of the song, did you notice the modulation?
I didn't notice exact modulation, but I did notice in the part where it's, where it's the G7, mm-hmm. or G, is that it? G7? Mm-hmm. It felt like...
The G-sharp 7.
G-sharp 7, that's what I meant. It felt very traditionally pop where you do, like, change something in the song.
Because well, yeah.
Because you have to... Because... No interrupt. But I do that all the time, so, you know, you can. But what I was saying was you have to have... something that makes the audience feel like, where are we? So then when you get back to your E, it helps the song, like, carry. I didn't know it was you know what I mean, right? Kind of. Like, you have to have something unresolved to resolve well. And I didn't know it was a complete key change, but I did know it was something not, like, in the realm of the key.
Well, so you're kind of talking about two different things. First of all, yes, there's that momentary modulation into C sharp minor, which we just discussed, which gives you that feeling of journey and then return home in the chorus. But the modulation I'm talking about happens right when the guitar solo starts, and the whole entire song goes up. This modulation is not here to create tension and release. It's actually here as a way to just build the energy even higher.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when you have a song, you have like verse, chorus, and it starts to get repetitive. And one of the things you can do to actually make it feel like you've gone even higher in a song when you're writing it is to change the entire key to something new. And what that does is it puts your singers in a different register, usually higher. And when singers are singing in a higher register, they start belting more, and you get even more emotional feeling out of their performance when you change the key of a song in the middle of the song.
Is that what they do in lots of pop songs where after the verse... they come back and it's so much higher? Like,
yeah, this is a classic pop songwriting
cause,
technique.
Because like in like Dynamite, they're, like, they come back from the bars and they're like, because
exactly, exactly. It's the same like, thing that they do in BTS in Dynamite. Yeah.
And that wasn't good. I was like, because oh my gosh.
Let's check out the intervals between the two. So you hear how their voices are so much higher?
Well, of course I hear that. I mean, that happens in, like, every pop song. Like, every pop song that I can think of. I mean, not trying to make it sassy, but it's like it adds an element where you want to keep listening, and it makes it more exciting and boosty and
yeah, but their voices also go up.
Yeah, well, obviously, it goes up. Instead of Stacy's mom has got it going on, it gets... Stacy's mom has got it. No, Stacy's mom has got it going.
Yeah. So you're in, you're starting in E.
Stacy's mom got.
But like, Dad.
And then the guitar solo starts right off in C. It moves from E to G, which is a third up.
Yeah.
Now let's see what BTS does. So Dynamite goes...
Light it up like dynamite.
Easy.
So it's also in E, which makes this comparison really easy to talk about.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Just like Stacy's mom. But then it goes... Maybe. It goes up to B, which is a second rather than a third, but it's pretty similar.
Okay, so number two. What was one guitarist that really helped erect this guitar solo into kind of what it is now? Kind of like, is there a guitar solo out there that is one that you can really say, oh my gosh, that sounds a lot like it. I bet they used that to shape it into it. Because, like, this guitar solo is such an iconic guitar solo. Like, it's a guitar solo, and I have it stuck in my head. I can sing it.
So, I thought it was interesting that you asked specifically about the guitar solo and how it functions as this very hooky, melodic section. Because I'm not sure, there might be more direct influences on the solo itself, but to my ear and to my knowledge of the song, this all goes back to the fact that this song is 100% designed to sound like the Cars. So I think Jody Porter, the lead guitar player in Fountains of Wayne, is pulling mostly from Elliot Easton in the Cars and what they do in Just What I Needed, which is the song that Stacy's mom is really, really closely modeled after.
It's like they were looking at the blueprint of it and kind of redrawing it.
Yeah, and what the Cars do a lot... Whoa, that just started playing. And what the Cars do a lot is...
I'm sorry.
this episode is a mess. They have these big melodies, which are played both on the lead guitar and on the synthesizer. And you can hear it at the end of Just What I Needed. And I think when you hear that melody, and then we listen to the melody from Fountains of Wayne, you'll hear similarities.
Okay.
Okay.
You're just what I needed.
Hear that big melody?
Yeah.
And now here's the solo from Fountains of Wayne.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like the same guitar.
Yeah.
So, except it's more of a solo. It doesn't have the vocals like, yeah, 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 yeah.
True.
Bad, bad imitation.
Okay. So anyway, I think that's the main influence on that solo.
Okay, yeah. So who are the songwriters... And play a few of their works that kind of most resemble how they wrote this song and, like, some, like, so we could see the similarities. And I think it's cool to see, like, two songs next to each other and be like, oh, yeah, kind of like what we just did with Cars.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was, like, a blueprint, but this is more like the songwriters and... Mm-hmm. Actually, their works.
Well, yes. Yeah, so
I can actually see the answer right now on your notes, but, you know, continue.
Well, it's interesting because, so the songwriters, the two songwriters in the band are Chris Collingswood, the singer and rhythm guitar player, as I mentioned before, and Adam Schlesinger, the late, great Adam Schlesinger on bass and backing vocal. And I read that a lot of times they wrote their own songs and brought them to the band. So it wasn't actually like they were co-writing all the songs together. And that's how Lennon and McCartney worked, was that sometimes they wrote songs together and sometimes they just wrote their own songs, but they credited all the songs to both of them. They were like married in terms of their songwriting credits.
Yeah.
And I read that Schlesinger wrote this song, Stacy's Mom. So the in terms of finding songs that are very similar to it, the thing about Fountains of Wayne, which I love, is that they are real music fans and they're real students of arranging and production. So they're great songwriters, but they look at every song differently in terms of style. So when you want to find a song that sounds exactly like this, it'll be hard in their catalog because every song they produce a little bit differently to tap into what that song needs. But in terms of, you know, power pop jams, Radiation Vibe is a good one to go back
to. Yeah, I know that song.
Let's play a little bit of that.
Yeah, let's play.
It's a Radiation Vibe.
So you can already hear, this is like their first single from 1996, and you can hear the sort of big guitars in the chorus and the big backing vocals in the chorus and a lot of the hallmarks of their power pop sound.
Yeah.
You like that song?
Yeah.
So now, talking about them as songwriters, you know, one of the interesting things about Adam Schlesinger, which we were talking about earlier, is that, in fact, I think we already said we were going to play some of That Thing You Do, which is from the movie. This film was actually directed by Tom Hanks. It was his first, the first film he directed, and Adam Schlesinger wrote all the songs for this fictional Beatles band. So listen to a little bit of that.
Okay.
Well, I try to forget you, girl.
So I think this song is a great example of Schlesinger's sort of the craft that he puts into his chord progressions. You can hear all those subdominant chords and just all those really nice ways that he puts together verses and choruses in a very classic pop way.
Yeah. Okay. Question 4. Is this based on a real experience or is this completely made up? Well, I can be curious about things other than the production, the instruments, the vocals. I mean, I hope that's allowed on this podcast.
So I was reading an interview with Adam Schlesinger, who wrote the song, and he said it was based on... He had a friend when he was growing up who had a crush on his grandmother.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, inspired a little bit by real life. And one of my favorite things about Fountains of Wayne and about Adam Schlesinger's writing is his approach to lyrics, because his lyrics are always very funny, very detailed, very rich with real characters that have real personalities and identities. And
oh, so that's kind of, inspired. He had a crush on his grandma.
Yeah. In fact, so, yeah.
No. That's kind of crazy, but so.
Have you seen the video for this song? It was a really big video on MTV.
Yeah, when I was researching, I watched the video.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically like, it's not his mom that he has a crush on. He has a crush on his girlfriend's mom.
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny premise for a song, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes a good song.
Yeah, and it's a dynamic you don't always hear treated in lyrics, which is like younger guy with a crush for an older woman, you know?
It also makes a good music video.
Yeah.
So, you know what it goes? Bum, 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 bum. And it looks really weird as what I wrote down.
Yeah, dung, 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 dung.
And then capital dung, like,
yeah, the capitals being the loud dung,
the dung, like, yeah. On the and,
yeah, that's good transcription skills.
But where does that come from?
Okay,
I'll kind of narrate one part. I know it comes from Just What I Wanted from Cars.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's inspired by.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, When I first heard the song, I was convinced that it was produced, this record was produced by Rick Ocasek, who is the main songwriter and producer in The Cars, and who had a very long career of producing other artists after his own band. And he had a very specific sound, which you hear in Stacy's Mom. But then I found out later on that he had nothing to do with the song, and they were just going for that sound in the studio. That they wanted to basically rip off that sound. Although I know this is going to sound like heresy to people who love The Cars.
What's heresy?
Like I'm breaking religious laws by speaking this on a music podcast, but I think Stacy's Mom is a better song than the Cars song it's ripping off, because the Cars song, Just What I Needed, is kind of shallow lyrically. It's just like the lyrics are very boring.
I can love you more than I could ever love anyone else. Like, like that.
He's just like, I see you coming around, wasting all my time. I think you're just what I needed. It's like a super
boring.
I don't know. Just like whatever. The lyrics don't do anything. But Stacy's Mom tells a whole story, and it has all sorts of jokes and wordplay and
puns.
Yeah,
like I would have never known that her husband left him. I would have never known.
Right, there's so much detail.
Then I would have been like, well, yeah.
I mean, the Car song is just like, I don't mind you coming around wasting all my time.
Oh, that reminds me of Monsters. Mm-hmm. I don't mind ruining my life.
That's another episode.
Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to do was actually line up the two intros and see just how close they are. So I'm going to play that now.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're listening on headphones, you'll hear on the left side, Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's Mom, and on the right side, The Cars, Just What I Needed. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Now, can we hear them on their own?
Yep.
So
all I did to Stacy's Mom was speed it up just a little bit so that it would lock in with the tempo of the Cars.
Okay.
Here's the original at its original tempo. And now here's the Cars. I don't mind you coming here,
wasting all my time. Whoa, that is like, I'm in awe. Wait, how can they do that legally? Like, you know how you can't steal a melody for a song? Like,
well, I mean, it's interesting, the legal thing, because, you know, after
that is so similar.
After years of doing jingle writing, you know, I've been asked many, many times by clients to rip off the sound of something. I think in this case, you know, maybe the Cars could have sued.
Because that is like a serious ripoff.
But, I mean, it's a ripoff until the melody comes in.
Yeah.
And in a traditional way of looking at the law when it comes to music, usually you're looking at the melody and the chords, and the chord progression is different in the Cars and the melody is different. But the sound is almost entirely the same.
Yeah. What are you prepping on your guitar?
So I was just going to demonstrate for you how that sound is made which is, it's an electric guitar with a lot of, you know, distortion on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the technique it used is muting.
Okay.
So if I just play E chords, you hear how they're all open?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you do as the guitar player is you put your palm of your hand over the strings and just enough pressure so that you get... So you get a little bit of the note, but no decay. So if you do that, the strings ring out. But if you put your palm over, the strings mute. So you go... So when you hear those big chords, it's the same instrument, but you're just taking...
Oh my gosh,
taking
wait.
Your palm off the strings.
Wait, I just found out something that changed my view of this. I thought that it was drums that was going... Dun, 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 dun.
I mean, there's drums in there.
Yeah,
there's a
I know,
kick
but...
drum, and then there, the drummer's hitting the snare and the cymbal or the hi-hat on the stabs to accent that. But the riff itself, the main riff, is being, it's being driven by the guitar.
Huh.
And it's not being driven by anything different in terms of rhythm or your left hand on the guitar. All of the work is happening on the right hand of the guitar, and it's not even happening on the picking, which is just eighth notes over and over. I just keep having music randomly pop in on this show. It just happens because of opening up the hand, the palm. You hear that?
Yeah. Whoa.
It's cool, right?
Cool. Wow. I thought that was all drums. Mind blowing.
So, you know, I wanted to. So, one more thing on this intro.
But it does also happen in the rest of the song. But yeah, an intro.
Well, I just wanted to mention one other thing, which is, remember how I said I thought Rick Ocasek produced the song?
Yeah.
And he didn't. So, who's Mommy's favorite band?
Guided by Voices. Okay, wait. Let me try to connect the dots. Did someone from Guided by Voices produce this?
Close. See if you can connect these dots. Or maybe I can have you connect the dots after I play an example. You want me to play you something?
No, give me a few more hints. Wait. It's Mommy's favorite band.
Guided by Voices.
Yep. Guided by Voices. Has a song like this one.
And why does it sound like this one?
I think you're going to say the song is Teenage FBI.
Good.
And, no, that's because I saw you were doing your research, so. It is similar because... intro.
Yeah, because it's produced by Rick Ocasek.
Oh, okay. I was close.
Someone tell me why I act like a fool when things don't go my way. You're around me. Somebody else.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound extremely similar like the Cars song does to Stacy's Mom, I feel like, but it does have kind of that sound. It does have that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be ridiculous for Rick Ocasek to bring a band into the studio and to make them sound exactly like him.
Yeah.
But there's that real, you know, sparse eighth note intro. And then the big guitar is coming in with a big melody, just like his song, Just What I Needed, and just like Stacy's Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to play a little bit of Guided by Voices on the podcast, which is always good for your mom.
Well, we haven't done that yet, so.
Yeah.
But.
What's your favorite Guided by Voices song? Maybe we should do a show on that.
Three of their songs. Do you want to know the three songs I know?
Yeah.
I know Huffman Prairie Flying Field.
Mm-hmm.
I know I Am a Scientist, mm-hmm. and I know that song.
Okay.
This is literally all I know, and I don't have questions on them. They're not my favorite band. I'm not a super fan.
Mm-hmm.
They only have like 30,000 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I said that. They like. I feel like the reason why I said that is because I feel like not everyone would know that. People on the show are poppies. We like to, like...
We don't know who's listening yet.
True, but, like, we're mostly talking about pop, so I'm guessing it would interest people. Pop. And this isn't really pop. And I don't know. Maybe these people have no idea who Guided by Voices is, and then we're going to have to explain. You know what? I'll just go through this after editing. But.
Okay.
But, yeah, those are the questions. That's the show, everyone.
So... When I was growing up, Willa,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a little story before we finish this show.
Is it quick?
It's quick.
Will it benefit the audience?
I think so. Oh, Bernie's on the podcast now.
This is so unprofessional, Dad.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I had a English teacher in high school. His name is Bob Jackson in Ardsley, New York. He was my 11th or 12th grade English teacher, and he was really, really... a warm, sweet, kind of hip, old hippie guy. And when he found out that I was writing songs, he was really excited. And he was like, I have a friend whose son is a songwriter and is trying to get his career off right now in New York City. And his name is Adam Schlesinger. And I should put you guys in touch one day.
Oh my gosh.
And... we never really got in touch at that point, but I was always thinking about him and then following his career with the band Ivy and then with the band Fountains of Wayne and with the movies and TV stuff he's done. And then about...
You should have talked to him.
I know. And then about, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, somebody from his... He used to own a recording studio in New York City on the West Side. And somebody from his recording studio reached out to my jingle company to see if we needed studio time. And when I found out it was his studio, I was like, hey, can I come over and take a tour? So I came over and I met him, and he was a super nice guy. And then a couple of years after that, when my company Copilot was working on songs for the Wolfenstein video game, we were looking for songwriters to bring into the project, and I contacted him, and we had a really nice email exchange about working on the project. It didn't work out. I think he was too busy. But again, super nice guy and somebody that I always have had in my just, I don't know, in my...
In your bubble.
In my brain. And he's always been out there as just this person who's like, you know, several steps ahead on the path as a successful musician and songwriter and somebody I've always looked up to. And so this was really it felt very personal when he passed. And I'm glad we're celebrating his life and his songs here. And I hope some of your listeners who might be like your age, who've never listened to Fountains of Wayne before, come and discover the band because...
Yeah, please, please discover it, guys. It's awesome.
It's not like they have, you know, they're going to be described... here and there as like a one-hit wonder from the 90s or early 2000s because they had that one song, Stacy's Mom, that was a big hit on the radio and on MTV. But they are not a one-hit wonder band at all. Every record is excellent. Every song on every record is excellent. I can't think of one song that I would remove from any of their records.
Yeah, definitely. They're awesome. And I discovered them this year, and I like them, and I'm just a pop junkie, so...
Well, thanks for letting me do an episode with you on Fountains of Wayne.
Yeah, well, your story about songwriting and he's like a few steps ahead of you in songwriting path, and you shout out to Highbird.
Thank you.
Nobody really got it. Well, my dad has it. You can explain quickly.
Well, Highbird is the name of the album that I put out a few years ago. The name of my artist name.
Yeah, it's your artist. He has an album.
So I'm working on some new stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do some more poppy stuff.
Yeah, he has
inspired by Adam.
12 monthly listeners, guys, so please go support him. Support.
You are so mean.
Support the dad.
You're so mean.
Maybe if I say that, they'll feel bad for you and they'll go listen to your stuff. Okay, well.
Who are we talking about in the next episode?
We are talking about AJR's Bang, which you're excited about.
Yeah. The first time I heard it, it really annoyed me.
Yeah, you were like, what is this?
It irritated me, but I kept listening to it and I was like, boy, these guys have really interesting ideas.
You were like, here we go. What is that?
Yeah. So we'll talk about that, and maybe we'll even spend a little time on the Lego song that they wrote. There are three brothers.
I think it's like Adam, Jack, and Ryan.
Yeah, it'd be like if I formed a band with Hari and Raji, right?
That'd be called...
We'd be called Her.
Oh, wait, no.
H-R-R? R-H-R?
R-H-R.
R-R-H?
Ruh!
R-R-H, yeah. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah, well, bye-bye!
Bye, everybody!